Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, everyone. Again, my name is Steve Norman, filling in for Rachel Herbeck here on Burning Hearts. And I'm very excited to be here filling in for Rachel, who's traveling in Rwanda on mission, mainly because I get this great opportunity to once again spend some time with my friend, my coworker, Chris Baker. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back again.
Yeah, man, you are stuck here. I know where you work. We work in the same office. And if you try to avoid me, I was going to drag you here anyway. So if you didn't tune in yesterday when we were talking, Chris and I were just kind of saying hello, getting to know a little bit about Chris's background, from being a focus missionary to getting his MBA to then moving to Ann Arbor with his wife to work for Renewal Ministries, and having this awesome gift and ability and skill set to really kind of see below the surface, to see a process, to see what's really going on, not just in human hearts, but like in systems and organizations, to make them more efficient and to make them more, just to run more smoothly. And as someone who lacks some of those skills, I have greatly benefited from our friendship, our working relationship. And I just think this is awesome because now we get to talk about things that I think we're both very passionate about, which is just coming closer to the Lord as men, but really just as disciples, and using this document of John Paul II. JP2 wrote this in encyclical, this apostolic exhortation called Pastores Dabo Vobis, meaning I will give you shepherds. He wrote this encyclical to help form men in the seminary. But Chris and I and our men's group have aimed to use this document to kind of shape the way we operate. And Chris has a great handle on it. So we introduced it yesterday and we're going to dive into it today. JP2 wrote of these four areas that a human should be formed in. So we're going to start off with the first one that he started off with, which is human formation. And JP2 says that human formation is the basis of all formation, all priestly, all human formation. So off the hop, Chris, when you think of human formation according to this document, is there a one-liner? Is there a kind of like a quippy little saying for you that, you know, it summarizes it?
Yeah, and I think my personality likes to boil things down so I can, you know, better understand it kind of at its core principle. And as we've wrestled with it and what it means to set a goal that's in line with this area of formation and really what JP2 had in mind for it, I was thinking of it more like letting the image of Christ be revealed in you. So it's already there, right? We're made in the image of God, but letting it be revealed so as to say there's lots of things in our life that can get in the way of being Christ or looking like Christ to others. And those are the things that oftentimes we can work on, we can start to change. Now, the one thing I would say, just to nuance that, is that it's not self-help. It's really Christ conformity.
Yeah, and so dive a little bit more into that because, yeah, I think it could be understood as if I just do me, if I am the best version of myself, that I feel like in popular Catholic circles sometimes that phrasing ology is there, and that's not necessarily bad, but you're kind of hinting at it's more than that. What's a little nuanced difference that you're trying to hint at there?
I think it aims too low when it becomes just about self-help or self-improvement for the sake of being better. It can even lead to approaching the habits or goals that we set to try to develop this area of formation to make it something that is really about you, about what you think you should do, what you think you need to do right now to just be a better version, to kind of be more worthy of the gift of grace, of the gift of God.
Yeah, and so JP2 is not talking necessarily about self-help, although he would obviously, I would assume, be an advocate for that in some degree. I don't want to speak for him. But at least in this document, what you were saying earlier, it's more about, and I'll read it specifically, he says, is that we are called to be a living image of Jesus Christ. And for priests, the head and shepherd of the church, they should seek to reflect in himself, as far as possible, the human perfection which shines forth in the incarnate Son of God. And so I feel like what JP2 and what you were just echoing is saying, the human formation is really about allowing Christ, who already dwells within you, to shine forth. Christ, who took on humanity, the second person of the Trinity, who dwelt among us, to allow him to come through, we ought to work on our human nature. We ought to not operate, to speak, to relate to people in such a way that does not reflect his divinity. And you use that word bridge earlier. So would you say that's kind of like what you're getting at, like to be a good bridge for the Lord?
Absolutely. Maybe another way to say it too would just be to not be an obstacle to others' walks with Christ. And so I, you know, for instance, if I look at my own life, you know, I'm married, I've been married for a little over 8 years. I have three little kids at home under six. And so if I look at my daily life, there are definitely times as a parent during family life where things can get frustrating, or, you know, the second or third time something spilled, and it's easy to let the feeling of anger kind of creep up and actually come out in your communication. But as a father and as a husband, keeping that anger not only in check, but also working on letting God transform it, even just on the human level, to not be an obstacle to my family's walk with Christ.
Right. So it's to be almost have self-control and to really this growth, this journey in virtue, so that you can be there for your wife, your kids, or if it's your friends, whoever is in your life, and you can, instead of flying off the handle and berating someone and using poor language and really tearing people down, and you're now an obstacle, you're not a bridge, you're a hindrance to someone coming to know the love of Christ when they spill the milk or when they, whatever the marital, you know, not you and Afton, I know you don't have marital stuff, but anyone else has some issues, that this is where the human formation can unfold. And so I want to ask you a question, you know, looking at this section of JP2's, he says, again, referring to priests, but really does apply to all of us, is he says that we need to be educated to love the truth, to be loyal, to respect every person, to have a sense of justice, to be true to their word, to be genuinely compassionate, to be men of integrity, and especially to be balanced in judgment and behavior. I mean, it's kind of what you're talking about. It's like to be a man like Christ, to be a human after his human nature. I mean, that's a tall order. And it says that we need to be educated in this. And I'm going to go on a limb and say we can't just learn this type of behavior in a book. It needs to be modeled and lived for us. So my question for you, Chris, was looking back on your life and your time growing up or as a missionary, like who was that for you? You know, I look up to you. I admire you and how you carry yourself. And I think that's a lot of you cooperating with the Lord and his grace. But I'm going to go on a limb and say there was someone in your life, a brother, an uncle of your dad. Who was that for you that kind of modeled some of these characters and like inspired you to do likewise?
Yeah. So growing up, seeing my dad live the way he lived was very inspiring to me. And that looked like a lot of quiet sacrifice, a lot of quiet integrity. And I only knew about so many of the things that he actually did out of love and out of sacrifice for our family because of my mom, who would share them with us and just like, oh, you know, your dad loves you guys so much. This is like, think about what he just did here. Think about what he just did there. And so she was an advocate for him and for how good and loving he was. But my dad was the one who constantly was up early reading scripture as just a practice. It wasn't a show. And he was the one who would, you know, get up and fill all the car's gas tanks on the weekend so that my mom didn't have to, or just, you know, kind of going above and beyond, always looking for ways to serve our family. And even though we are not priests as lay people, you know, through our baptism, like priest, prophet, and king, through union with Christ, and I mean, that is a nature of being a priest, is to, through sacrifice, to lead others to Christ. And through that ability, like you were just talking about, to have good moral character, to be in, have integrity, and to be consistent, those are things that are required to actually have control or mastery over yourself in order to make yourself a gift, like a self-gift to others.
Yeah, and obviously priests have sacramental graces through their ordination to when they are in persona Christi and celebrating at Mass the Eucharist. The Lord is laying down his life in a sense, and we can participate in that. But like you just said, that every man is called to lay down his life for a bride of some sort. And you can see in the church maybe or in different family rhythms when a man doesn't do that, that again, sacramental graces might be present, but when you have a priest, when you have a man who lives this quietly and not for show, but just humbly seeking to receive from the Lord and to live according in his human nature, in your case, it can have a lasting impression and mold you and shape you to want to do the same. And I think that's what JP2 is getting after, that this formation needs to start at the base, our emotions, our thoughts, how we chew at the dinner table, how we serve other people, just in, you know, the little ways. Now, I'm Canadian, so we have stereotypes of just being polite and nice, but seriously, like even just proper manners, you know, when someone lacks this human formation, it can be, especially for younger people, like, oh, that's how I should carry myself then, right? It's you end up not being that bridge sometimes to people in their journey. Now, yeah, that's awesome. But your dad, I got a chance to meet him the one time, and it was a great experience for myself. Now, shifting gears a little bit in this last minute or so, going from like the peer-to-peer side, JP2 writes again near the end of this section, he says that this affective maturity, sort of this like emotional maturity, this way of carrying ourselves, should bring to human relationships serene friendship and deep brotherliness, a strong, lively, and personal love for Jesus Christ. And so this is fun because we're in the same men's group and we have a couple of other friends in that. Can you speak to this element again through either your own marriage or as a focus missionary or from our men's group, where you see this like peer-to-peer, where like someone who is seeking to form themselves and be formed in this human way, they enter into relationships, like what do they bring to the table, the serene friendship? What is that experience like?
So I think growing in this area of formation allows for the development of a, you know, solid moral character to be the bridge and not be the obstacle like we talked about. But as you grow in it, becoming the man who can be prudent in the things that you say and don't say, in the things that you do and you don't do, having the discernment to do that well, the discernment to make good decisions for your life, for your family, for your marriage, for your friendships, those are all important pieces of becoming the man of virtue with the high level of spiritual maturity, emotional maturity, all that. And I think that actually is what allows both the priests or the seminarians who were training to be priests that JP2 was writing to, as well as us as lay people in a men's group, to be good friends, to encourage each other to be good husbands and to be good spouses.
Yeah, I mean, we meet at 6 a.m. every other Friday, and, you know, we're showing up with our coffees or just getting it together, and it's a fun time. We're joking around, we're having fun, we're kind of calling each other on as we seek to live out of this document, challenging each other, but it's just fun. Like, I don't know any other appointment in my life where I'm meeting at 6 a.m. where I'm looking forward to just being, but it's this friendship. And so for me, I highlighted or underscored this section for JP2, that this serene friendship, deep brotherliness, it's like, so that when I'm called out and it's coming from you or anyone else in our group, I know it's coming from a place of a guy who knows me, who loves me, who wants the best for me to grow closer to the Lord, this virtuous friendship, as Aquinas would talk about. And he has my best in mind, and it just makes the whole process of growth better. So, well, awesome. Well, we will end this section there on the human growth according to JP2, and we look forward to having you back tomorrow to dive into the spiritual formation. So please join us if you can tomorrow on Burning Hearts.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.